We are in the we. So last time we began the Shar HaYichud, which is the first major section of the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. We spoke a lot about different ideas regarding how we know that Hashem exists, right? A lot of those things. We're going to continue with a lot of that today in terms of proving Hashem exists and understanding what it means that Hashem exists. So we're going to pick up from the fifth perek, from Shar HaYichud Perek Chamisha. That's what we're up to, okay? So this perek is going to be a little bit more intense and a little bit more difficult than the first four that we spoke about last time. It's just this is a little bit more philosophical, a little bit more challenging, but we'll see. Hopefully we'll be able to go through it as well. Okay, so in the beginning of the fifth perek, he starts out by saying, Acha hagdamos asher yisbarer mehen, ki yesh la'olam hazeh borei bira'o me'ayin, Hein shalosh hakdamos, the premise, the notion that Hashem created the world, yesh me'ayin, or that he created this world from nothing, that he created an entire world from literally nothing, which is one of the principles that we believe about Hashem creating the world, that idea is based on three premises, or three assumptions. Achas mehena, the first assumption is, ki hadavar eino oseh atzmo. The first assumption is that something cannot create itself. In other words, if there's a world here, someone or something must have created that world. That's assumption number one. Then the hashin is, the second assumption is, ki ha-haschalos yesh tachlis le-misparan, v'chevan she-yesh tachlis le-misparan, yesh lehen rishon she-ein rishon lefanav. The second assumption is that beginnings or causes or things that cause other things to begin are limited in number. In other words, most things in the world, or for that matter, the world itself, must have come from something else, because there are very few things that exist that don't come from something else, that wasn't created from something or someone else. And then the third assumption, the hashlishis, ki kol mechubar mechudash. Everything which is a composite, which is made up of different things, which is not just like a simple thing, it's comprised of different things, what we call in English an amalgamation. It's a mix of different things. By definition, that is a new idea, right? To take different things and fuse them together, that must have been brought into existence. In other words, that could not have been eternal. It's impossible to say that something which is a mix of different things existed since the beginning of creation. Because by definition, it means that some guy came along at some point in history and decided to mix two things together. Like, for example, let's say a mule, right? A mule is made by crossbreeding different animals. So it wasn't like a mule existed in the beginning of time. So in fact, we know this in Parshas Vayishlach, right? The Pesukim talk about these two people, Aya and Anna. They were the ones who came along and actually bred mules. So a mule, for example, would be something which didn't exist beforehand. So as an example, something new, something which is not, in other words, not original essentially, by definition must have been created later on. So these are the three premises that we establish in order to prove that Hashem created the world. Once we can establish these three premises that we just explained, the result will be, if you understand what these three premises are, as we're going to explain. So these, if you understand these three concepts, these three points, or these three ideas, which we're going to prove in a second, then the only logical conclusion that you can draw is that Hashem created the world. Now, the only thing we have left to do, which is what we're going to do for most of the rest of this perek, is to now prove each one of these three premises to prove how they're true. Once we know that these three points are true, then the only logical conclusion we can say is that Hashem created the world. So now we're going to try and attempt to prove that all these are actually true. Okay. So first of all, he says, the haraya al birur elush hashalosh hakdamos. So the proof to clarify these three points, these three premises, hu masha asapir, is what I'm about to tell you. V'hu shenomar, ki chol nimsa achar shelo haya, enenu nimlat me'achad mishnei devarim. Something which exists, right? In other words, anything which exists, if after it had not existed previously, that can only fall under one of two categories. Either an item which exists, you either have to say created itself, or someone or something else created it. Those are your only two options. And he explains, im shehimtzi es atzmo, right? Oh, sorry, im shehimtzi hu es atzmo, o shehimtzi oso zula. So either the item created itself, or someone or something else created the item, right? Those are the only two possible options. V'chol ma shenachshov alav shehu asa es atzmo, lo yimalei gam kein me'achan mishnei devarim, im shasa es atzmo kodem havayaso, o achar havayaso, u'shneim yevshar. If you're going to argue, if you're going to say that an item created itself, so then you're also left with one of two options, that either the item created itself before it was created, or after it was created. But both of those options also do not make any sense. Why? Ki im nomar she'asa es atzmo achar havayaso lo asachlum shelo hayot zarich la'asos atzmo mipenei hakdamas havayaso lema'aseyu im kein lo asachlum. Making, in other words, if you're going to argue that somehow an item can create itself, but if it happened after the item was already created, so then it's not creating itself. The item was already there, right? So it doesn't make any sense to say that an item could create itself after it was already created. On the other hand, v'im nomar she'asa es atzmo kodem havayaso, if you're going to tell me that an item somehow created itself before the item was actually created, that's also not possible. But isa hi haya efes v'ofes, v'ha'efes lo yemimenu ma'asev lo hanacha. By definition, before an item is created, it doesn't exist. It's not there. So how could nothing create something, right? That's the problem, right? That's like the catch 22, the conundrum that we're caught in here. He says, "V'nimna shi'adavar oseh atzmo b'shempanim." It's not possible, basically, for an item to create itself. So this is the proof for our first premise, for our first point, which is the idea that, in theory, we only had two options. Either the item created itself, or someone or something else created the item. But there's no way to say that an item creates itself, because it can't create itself after it was created. That's useless. It can't create itself before it was created. That's impossible. Because by definition, you can't create something if the thing wasn't there yet. Okay, so we've proven the first point. Now, ubiru ha'akdama ha'shinesu ala derech hazeh, the second point. Shekoma sheyesh lo sichla, yesh lo schila. Anything which is finite, anything which has an end to it, which is going to come to an end eventually, by definition, must also have a beginning. Ki chvar nisbara, for we've already explained, right? Shekol ma she'in lo tchila, in lo tichla. Something which has no beginning, something which always existed, is by definition infinite. Mipnei she'i afshar lahagia b'davar, she'in lo tchila, gvo she'ya amod ha'adam etzlo. Because it's impossible for mankind, for a human being, to understand what it means that something doesn't have a beginning, that something is infinite, right? It's not really, we don't have a hasaga, we don't really have a good understanding of what that means. So by definition, anything which never had a beginning, i.e. it always existed, is by definition going to be infinite. Umasha nimtsolo acharis, and something which is finite, which has an end to it, neida ki hayalo rishon, in rishon lefanav, utchila she'in lo tchila, something which is limited, which is finite, by definition, it must have had a beginning, and it must have had a starting point, right? In other words, there must have been a point in time that this item came into existence, and before that point in time, that item never existed. And as we try to contemplate and to think about the fact that many items in our world are finite, neida, we will realize ki hayalo hen rishon in rishon lefanav utchila she'en latchila ki ein haschalos mibli sachlis leschilasan. We're going to realize that the majority of items in this world, if not all of them, have a beginning and have a starting point where there was nothing beforehand, because you cannot have, by definition, you cannot have an infinite chain of things that are eternal, right? It just doesn't work that way. You can't have a whole chain of events of things that always existed. There had to have been a point in time when something or someone created other things, and those other things, by definition, didn't exist before the original thing or person created, right? Okay, then Od, min hayadu, we also know, ki chol ma sheyesh lo chilek, yesh lo kol. Ki ein hakol, ki im klal chalakav. He says, furthermore, anything which has a parts to it, by definition has a whole, right? Because again, we know the famous expression, right? Like the whole is the sum of its parts. You can't have an item that is comprised of pieces without having, I'm sorry, you can't have a whole item that's not made up of pieces. It doesn't make sense for something which is infinite to be made up of parts. What exactly is a portion of something? A portion is something which is separated from the whole, right? You take a piece, like you take a piece of cake, right? So you're separating something from the whole cake. Right? You take a piece of kugel, you separate it from the whole kugel, right? That's what it means. A portion means I take something from the whole. Right, ki hashira katan soferes hagadol, because the smaller shear, right? In other words, that smaller shear is part of, it's a small part of the larger amount. Kasher zachar yuklidis v'tchilas ha'ma'amar hachamishi the Sefer Hashir. This point is emphasized by Euclid. Euclid is considered, he was a Greek mathematician. He was considered to be like the founder, basically, of modern-day geometry. So all the principles that we know for geometry, many of them come from him. So he writes about this in his book, right? His book was known as the Book of Elements. So this work on measurements, on geometry, he basically makes this point, which we already know, which is that, basically, a whole is defined by the sum of its parts. In other words, you can't have a whole entity without the pieces of that whole entity. So in other words, what we're basically saying here, again, this is the proof for the second point that we made, which is that any item which has a beginning, which is or has a cause, by definition is going to be finite, because it needed to have started from somewhere or from something. Meaning, if we're assuming that this world was created by Hashem, then everything in this world was created beforehand. It wasn't, in other words, as we mentioned before, it didn't pop into existence on its own. It didn't create itself, right? Like we said, these things were specifically created by Hashem. If we're going to think about something which is actually infinite, then now frish mi menu ktsaso, and now you're going to try to take a part from the infinite. Right? If you remove a piece of infinity, it doesn't compare to the way the item or the thing or the being was in its infinite state, right? It's going to be significantly less or significantly worse. And then if you take away part of the whole, and that part is also infinite, so then the problem is you're going to have this impossible, you know, almost math equation, where one infinite is greater than another infinite. In other words, like this. If you're going to argue that removing a piece of the whole infinite item, the infinite being, in this case Hashem, right, is going to be just as good as the original, but that's not possible. Because you can't remove something from a whole and say that it's the same as the whole, because you just took away from the whole. So by definition, a piece of the whole is much less than the whole item itself, or the whole human, or the whole being itself. Therefore, when we say that removing a piece of the infinite is going to be considered on the same level as the whole, that's not possible. It's not possible to have something which is removed from the whole being on the same level as the infinite being. V'imi hielish ar tachlis im nosif alav hachila kamufrash mimenu v'hu yesh lo tachlis. The other option is that, let's say the part of the whole that you just took away is finite. It's not infinite. It's significantly less than the whole being. And now what you're going to do is, you're going to take the piece that you just removed, and you're going to try to put it back. So what you're doing now is that the whole item is also finite, right? In other words, for example, I know this sounds a little confusing, but basically, if you're going to remove a piece of a whole, and now you're going to tell me that, well, the fact that I took away a piece of the whole makes the whole thing finite now, makes the whole entity very limited, right? It's not nearly as good as it was when it was whole. So now you're like, okay, no big deal. I'll just take the piece I removed and stick it back on. That's not going to do anything for you. It's still going to be, right? It's still going to be much less than it was beforehand, right? Uchvar haya b'schilas dvareinu mein tachlis, right? Initially, originally, this item, this being, right, was infinite. But now you're removing a piece of it, so now all of a sudden it's finite, it's limited. V'im kein yihyeh b'sachlis u'me'in tachlis v'zehefech she'yev shar lihios. So what's going to happen is, what you're telling me now, is that you're having the same being, or the same item, which on the one hand is finite, and on the other hand is infinite, which is not possible. It's not possible to say that I have a God who on the one hand is infinite, who created the world, who's always existed, but if I take a piece of him away, now he's going to be finite. That's not possible, right? The same way that we mentioned before that it's not possible to have let's say, for example, to have an item both create itself and then also exist, right? So it's also impossible for a God, or for any being for that matter, that you think is infinite, to both be infinite and finite at the same time. Those two things, by definition, are contradictory. They don't make sense together. Okay, so then he says, "Ucheshenechlak mimasha yatzel geder ha'havaya ba'olam min ha'yishim mimei Noach ad yimei Moshe alav ha'shalom." So now, if you think about all the individuals that ever existed in the world, let's say you take some of the people out of the equation. Let's say you take all the people who existed from the days of Noach to the days of Moshe. So b'machashavtenu yechilek mikol yishei ha'olam V'magia tachlis, imken al kolum magia al tachlis nispar. So the total number of individuals, right, is going to be finite. So that means that the whole is also finite. In other words, for example, let's say you're trying to figure out all the people who existed between the days of Noach and Moshe. So if you want to single out certain people, by definition, you're, as we mentioned this before, you're detracting from the whole entity. V'chevan shakol ha'olam hazeh magia atachlis tzarech sheyehu tchilosav magios atachlis mispar v'hadin nosein sheyeh la'olam hazeh rishon ein rishon lefanav v'tzarech ba'avur zeh la'hagia haschalos b'rishisam ka'asher hikdamnu. The whole purpose of olam hazeh, this world, it's finite in terms of all the individual things that exist in the world and the people that exist in the world, which means that the beginning of this world, by definition, must have also been finite, which means that there must have been someone or something that created this world, and therefore, you have to say, again, this is really the end of the second proof that we mentioned, this is the ultimate proof that Hashem had to have created the world. Because if you don't say that, if you say that the world just existed on its own, so the problem with that theory, right, with saying that, is that, well, let's say if I'm removing part of a whole entity, so then the assumption is that the part that I removed is not as great as the whole. So if we're assuming, if we're really convinced that the parts that we remove from the whole are as significant as the whole, you have to say that this world is finite, but the God who created it is infinite. So that's the explanation, really, of the second proof that Hashem must have created the world. Okay, now moving to the third proof. Ubiru ha-hakdama ha-shlishis, shenomar, hichol mechubar murkav mibli safik midvarim yoser me'achad, v'hadivarim ha-hem asher chubar mehem, him kodmim lo hakdama tivis. So again, we mentioned, right, this was the third proof, that anything in the world that is a composite, that's a mixture, that's an amalgamation, it's a mixture of different things. It's not natural. It's not something that was created that way initially, but rather someone later on decided to breed an animal or to plant trees a certain way, etc. So that idea that something which is a mixture of other things obviously is coming from more than one thing, and therefore there must have been that other thing must have come before it. Right? Again, the example that we gave before, like a mule, or let's say, like for example, like a pomelo, right? A pomelo is like a mix between, I think it's like a grapefruit and I forgot what the other one was. It's a grapefruit and orange, maybe, I forgot what it was. So in other words, the point is that pomelos are not a natural fruit, right? A mule is not a natural animal. The only way to produce a pomelo or a mule or whatever is to find those other animals or those other fruits first, and to then mix them and create that new animal or that new fruit. So, in other words, his point is that these items are made up of things that existed by definition beforehand, right? Okay, and then he says, V'chein tzarech shia v'chabero kodem lo hakdama zmanis v'tivis. And whatever assembled, whatever put together that mixture also had to have existed beforehand, right? In other words, the person or the being that created the pomela or the mule or whatever it is must have existed beforehand as well. V'hakadmon hu she'ein lo ila.
So
basically, the term kadmon, right, means something which always existed. So something which always existed, by definition, there was no cause. In other words, nothing caused Hashem to exist. And something which has no cause also has no beginning, meaning to say Hashem always existed. There was never a point in time when he didn't exist. And something which has no beginning is also, by definition, infinite. It's never going to end, right? In contrast, something which is kadmon, something which does have a beginning, right, is, by definition, going to be finite. It's going to be brought into the world, yesh mayad. It's going to be brought something from nothing. And therefore, since there is no middleman, there's nothing, there's no medium that connects the kadmon to the Eino Kadmon, right, there's nothing in the middle that connects the being that always existed, namely Hashem, to something which is Mechudash, something which is brand new. So Imkain, Kol Mechubar Einenu Kadmon. That means that by definition, anything which is a mixture of other things, by definition, cannot have always existed. Again, this is the same idea that we keep on mentioning, right? In other words, the idea that if you have an item, or you have a being, or you have something which is made up of different things, that the other things from which they were created must have existed before, and specifically the people, or the person, or the being that created that mixture must have also existed before. Because if you don't say that, so then there's no way for that new item, or for that new fruit, or the new animal, or whatever the case was, to have come into existence otherwise. The Al-Kopanim hu mechudash, but it's still considered to be new. So this is the end of his explanation of the three proofs to the existence of Hashem. So just to review, because I know there's a lot of complicated language here, but let's just make sure that we understand the basic point here. His three major proofs that we mentioned that Hashem exists. So the first point that we mentioned, right, was basically the idea that the first idea that we mentioned was the fact that that by definition that nothing can create itself, right? That was the first proof that we mentioned. Then we got into a whole discussion about, even if, in other words, how it's impossible for an item to create itself. The second proof we mentioned, which is probably the most complicated one, was that there are only a limited number of things in the world that are infinite, and therefore most of the things in this world are finite, and if they're finite, they must have been created from something else. And the third proof that we just finished explaining was the idea that everything which is made up of a mixture of things, by definition, is a new creation that must have come from somewhere else, or someone else, or something else, right? So if you have new things in this world, by definition, they must have come from someone or something else, and therefore they are not considered to be a new creation. Okay, are there any questions? I know this is like a really complicated paragraph, but are there questions about that? We're good?
Yes. Yeah. The only thing is,
yeah,
about the, like, the first argument, like, about causality.
Yeah.
How, like, then you could say the same thing that Hashem just came out of, like...
But that's the problem, though. No, because there has to have been a point in time where there was no longer a being, or there was no longer a person, or a whatever, who was created from something, right? Because the assumption is that eventually, if you go back far enough, something had to have started everything. Now, you could debate what that thing was. That's what people have, you know, the Big Bang Theory. You could debate maybe it came from an atom, maybe it came from a whatever, right? You can debate what the initial thing was, but it's indisputable to say that everything in the world must have come from something or someone or somewhere or whatever, right? In other words, that's the basic point of his first argument. Okay.
I'm saying, but people could use that same argument for, like, the...
For what?
Big Bang Theory.
You could. Again, he's not trying... In the first proof, first of all, his point was that you have to take all three proofs together to come to the conclusion that Hashem created the world. I, you're right. I don't think the first proof by itself would definitively prove that Hashem created the world. It proves that there must have been something or someone here before that created everything. But you're right. It's a fair point. Okay, so let's at least start the next parak a little bit. So in the sixth parak, he's going to kind of continue what we were just talking about before. Achal iz apanim nishtamish b'hakdamos asher zacharnu b'biru mitzios haborei saleh. So he says that the idea that we mentioned in the previous parak, all these different ideas, these different proofs to demonstrate Hashem's existence, who it is as follows. Kasher nistakel ba'olam hazeh, when we contemplate, we think about olam hazeh, Nimtzeu mechubar umorkav. Olam hazeh is basically a composite. It's made up of different things. Ein chelek mechalakav mibli chibur v'sidur. Right? Nothing in this world is out of place. Everything in olam hazeh has a function. Ki anachnu ro'im oso b'har gashav seinu v'sechleinu. And we can actually sense that. We actually see that. For example, kabayas habanui. Like, for example, a house that was built, that was just finished built, that was furnished. Asher zuman bo kol atzarichlo. Right? When you complete a house, so everything that you need is already in the house. Hashamayim yimal, so the heavens that are above our heads, kitikra. That's like a roof. That's like a ceiling above our heads, right? The haaretz mitucha kematzah, and then the land below us. It's like a rug. It's like a carpet. The hakochavim misudarim kineros. The stars are like the candles that are lit throughout the house. V'chol hagufos sivuros bo kemichmanim. Right, and all of the objects that are gathered around it are like these treasures. Kol davar l'mashet tzarichlo. Everything has a function. Everything in this world has a specific use. V'ha'adam kebal habayis ha'mishtamesh b'chol atshamo. And us, as human beings, are like the Baal HaBayis. We're like the house owner. We're the person in charge of taking care of the house. Uminei hatzmachim, and all the plants and all the vegetation, mizumanim l'soalto, those are for our benefit, right? We're supposed to eat those to stay healthy. Uminei hachayos mishtamshim l'hada'aso, and animals as well. We use animals for our benefit as well, whether for eating, we can, you know, use their skins, make leather and hides or whatever. Kemosha amar David olav hashalom, David says in Tehillim, tamshileu v'maasei yadecha, kol shata sachas raglav, shoneva alafim kulam, v'gam bahamos sadai, tzipor shemayim udgeha yam overach osyamim. David HaMelech says explicitly in Tehillim, he says that you've made, Hashem, he says to Hashem, you've made mankind to rule over all the things that you've created, right? You've put everything underneath our feet. All the sheep, all the oxen, the animals, the birds, the fish, everything that exists in the world essentially is created for the benefit of mankind. The Seder Zrichas HaShemesh Uvawa. Let's say, for example, sunrise and sunset. La'amid ite hayom v'halayla. Right, the purpose of sunrise and sunset is to know when does the day start, when does the day end, when does the night start, when does the night end. Right, va'aliyasa v'yiridasa, and the rising and the lowering of the sun. That tells us, is it hot? Is it cold? Right. We have the summer and the winter to to teach us that as well. We have the seasons. Ushno sam tamid al sidur achan mibli hefsik. And the fact that they're always changing, right? According, in other words, this is like part of the chiddush of creation, is that everything, it has an order. Everything is constantly going, you know, in order. Like, for example, why is it true that every year we have four seasons? And obviously you can have a hot day in the winter and you can have a cold day in the summer. It happens. But like, overall, why is it that the world runs in the same cycle, the same pattern? It never veers off course, right? It's a huge chiddush. And that's actually what it says in Parshas Noach, right? Hashem, after the Mabul, so Chazal say, the Gemara says that during the Mabul, basically all the seasons stopped. There were no seasons, there was no sunrise. It was just, the world was complete chaos. And afterwards, Hashem says, he says, Kayetz v'choref, you know, v'yom v'layla lo yishmosu. That's never going to happen again. Everything is going to run in a specific order after the Mabul was over. Kidichsiv, Ha'omer lacheres v'lo yizrach, uva'ad kochavim yachton. The Pasuk says in Sefer Iov that Hashem commands the sun, and it doesn't rise. And he seals up the stars. Uchsiv tashes choshech v'hi layla. This is in Tehillim. It says, Hashem, you make darkness and it's night. Meaning, Hashem is the one who establishes the order and the cycle in which the world operates. V'sibuva galgalim, asher tenu osam mischalfos, v'hakochavim v'hamazalos. The way that the planets and the stars and the constellations, right, are always moving around their different orbits. We know, of course, for those of you who remember anything from, I don't know, what grade you would have learned about planets in, but like, I don't know, fifth, sixth grade, every planet has a different cycle, has a different orbit, right?
Mom,
so the, so,
take
so,
us
what was, okay.
Okay,
so basically every planet, we know, of course, has a different orbit, a different cycle. How many days, you know, it takes for our different planets to orbit are going to vary, right? You know, so, you know, it takes the Earth 365 and a quarter days, right, to orbit the sun. That's a full solar year. But other planets, their years are different lengths, right? So every planet, every constellation, every star has a different amount of time that it takes to circle around the sun, for example, right? And he says, for example, Al Hanhaga Mishoeres Umishkal Mechuvan. Every single planet and every single star and every single constellation, they move in a precise order. They're always moving the exact precise way that they need to move. Lo yizach v'lo yishtaneh. They don't deviate. They don't stray from their path at all. Right, again, this is like a huge nace. It's a huge chiddush that this would happen. It keeps going and going at the exact same rate. The purpose of all of this, right, is all for our benefit. Like Shlomo Amalek says in Koheles, everything, he says that, you know, everything was created for a purpose, and everything has its time. And then V'amar, he says the famous pasuk in Kohelis also, V'kol zman ve'is b'chol chifetz tachas ha'shamayim. Right? There's a time for everything, and everything was fixed, and everything was set under the heavens. V'chol zechibro v'harkav aso, and everything, whether it's in part or it's a whole, nirin b'chulo uve'miktzaso. You can observe something, you can look at something, whether it's in its whole form or whether it's in parts. When you look, when you think about plants and animals, right? So nimtzaim echubarim hayesodos ha'arba'a v'heima ish v'haruach v'hamayim v'ha'afar v'heima nechlakim v'nifradim. Basically, every single creature in the world, whether human beings, animals, plants, all of them, are comprised of some combination of the four elements, right? The four elements are fire, earth, air, and water. Those four elements are essentially the basis for all of life. V'ein banu yicholas l'chabram ha'chibur ha'tiv'i. We do not have the ability as human beings to take these four elements and join them together naturally the way that Hashem does, because some of them, for example, fire and water, are opposites. They can't live together, right? So the very fact that you were able, that Hashem is able to combine different elements and have them live harmoniously with one another is a tremendous chiddush, is also a tremendous news, and it's not something we could ever possibly replicate, right? And he says that's also why, for example, these things disintegrate quickly, right? These combinations that Hashem creates are going to last forever. They're going to endure forever because Hashem created them. Whereas the artificial things that we create, those things do not last forever because, again, like we said, many of the elements, by definition, are repealing one another, or they don't live in harmony with one another. Some of the philosophers already thought they already thought that these supernatural, you know, angels and planets and stars and things of that nature come from fire. It's what, similar to what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Osem alachav ruchos misharisav ish lohit. Right, we see this in Baruch Hinashi on Rosh Chodesh. The pasuk says that Hashem makes the wind into his messenger, and the flames of fire are his officers. What does that mean? Uvazeraya al hamachashava hazos. This is a proof for this idea. Ve'einena tolada chamishis kasher chashav Aristo. He says that this is not considered to be a fifth element like Aristotle. Again, Aristotle being one of the most prominent philosophers, right? This is not a fifth element. This is Hashem, like we said before, taking all of the pre-existing four elements and combining them in the form of mankind, in the form of malachim, in the form of plants, in the form of animals. That is part of the miracle of creation. As opposed to us, if we were to try and combine different items together, they would just be temporary and they would essentially dissipate after a while. Right, since everything which exists that we find come from these elements, right? And we know that they're not made on their own, right? These are inherent. These things are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because again, like we said before, they have characteristics that are against one another, which naturally should never be able to exist. So therefore, he says, this must have been created by Hashem, because it's not possible for a human being to create things or beings or that have opposite elements to them. So this is really an extension of the last parak, because he's continuing to prove how it's possible, why you have to say that Hashem created the world. Because otherwise, there's no, how could half the things in this world even exist otherwise? It's not possible, because everything in this world, if you think about it, naturally has parts that are opposing one another, have parts that are repealing one another, and they still exist. The very fact that they still exist, which would seem to indicate that it must have been created by Hashem, because otherwise, how could these things possibly exist if not for the fact that it was created by Hashem? Okay? And he says, when we start to investigate more about these four elements, right, the fire, earth, air, and water that we spoke about, so we find that these four elements are made up of what's called chomer and tzura. Chomer and tzura are terms that are used very, very often in books of machshava, in books of philosophy, also a little bit in Kabbalah. They basically mean matter and form. Now, again, I don't exactly know what a good English translation to actually tell the difference between the two, but the very basic difference between Chomer and Tzura is that Tzura is like a much more specific image, a much more specific understanding of something, whereas Chomer is much more general, right? It's much more just like a general concept, a general, like, for example, in Kabbalah and Machshava, a lot of times, usually usually men, are, or the male is usually assumed to be Chomer, and the female is assumed to be Tzura. So again, there's a lot of symbolism behind that also in Machshava and Kabbalah, but essentially he says that all these four elements break down into what's called Chomer and Tzura, which also break down to what's called Etzem and Mikra. Etzem is things that are like the essence, that are essential to something, and Mikra are things that are more tangential, that are more kind of, you know, happenstance. They happen to be there, but they're not really so fundamental. V'hachomer shalahem, hu hachomer harishon, asher hu shorash hayesodos ha'arba'a, v'hachomer v'hahayuli shalahem. So anything which is essentially made of chomer, which is again matter that we spoke about before, but it doesn't really have a specific form to it. It's what we call formless matter. Those are made up of elements that come from the Chomer Harishon, the very first Chomer, the very first matter, which is the whole source of the four elements, which is what we call the Koach Hayuli. The Koach Hayuli is something which the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis talks about at length. It's what some people essentially call the initial force, right? In other words, so what some people call the Big Bang, other people call it the Koach Hayuli. It's that initial atom, that initial thing that Hashem created that caused the rest of the world to be created, that is often called the Koach Hayuli. So essentially what he's saying is that all the four elements in the world essentially get their root from that initial Chomer, which essentially comes from that Koach Hayuli, that initial spark, or whatever you want to call it, that Hashem used to create the world. Their form is this form that we spoke about, which always existed, which includes all of the other forms that were going to exist later on. And that is, again, where everything comes from. Basically, every single thing in the world, heat and cold, wet and dry, heavy and light, moving and resting, every action, everything that we essentially have in this world can be traced back to that initial Chomer that would existed at the time when Hashem created the world. Okay, so let's now he's going to try to like kind of summarize this. V'ha'harkava v'ha'chibur nirim b'chol ha'olam u'v'chol chalakav b'sharashav u'v'anafav b'pshuto u'v'murkavo b'elyono u'v'sachtono. So essentially, when you combine things, when you unify something, that unification, that combination is obvious throughout the world. It's basically a whole item with all of its parts, with the roots and the branches, where you have things that are simple and things that are complex, right? You have things that are above us and things that are below us. V'tzarich mima shehigdamnu sheyiyakulo mechudash ka'asher hisbarer lanu. And again, based on all of the premises, all the three assumptions that we spoke about in the previous parak, so that it would logically come out to say that this world, by definition, is new, that it was created by Hashem. Kasher his brother, like we already proved, kichol mechubar mechudash, v'hadin chayav shenamid kichol ha'olam mechudash. Again, if you haven't realized yet, this whole parak so far, talking about creation and how Hashem created everything, is really a continuation of the third premise we mentioned at the end of the previous parak, which is the notion that kol mechubar mechudash, everything which is a composite, which is made up of different items, by definition, is something new that had to have been created by something or someone else. And the only way to explain that is to say that this entire world, which essentially can be traced back to that initial Chomer, that initial spark in time when Hashem put everything into motion, that must have been created by Hashem. The Chavon Shekenu, and since that's the case, V'nimna Shiyad Dover Oseh Satzma, we already proved in the previous parak, it's impossible for something to create itself. Tzarich Shiyad Li Olam Oseh Shetchilaso V'chadsho. So you have to say that there must have been a God, a creator, a maker, who made all of this. Because we've just proven that it's not possible that there was this infinite chain of events where things were just being created and there was no one who created it first. So the only logical conclusion is to say that that was Hashem. Hashem was the initial cause. And you have to say it was Hashem alone. There was nothing or no one else helping him to create it. He was the only one around creating everything that exists today. As the pasuk specifies, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Anochi Hashem oseh kol notesh shamayim levadi roka haaretz meiti. In Yeshayahu, Hashem says, "I am Hashem. I made the heavens. I spread myself over the earth. It was just me. It was nobody else." The Amar, the pasuk says in Sefer Iov, "Noted safon al tohu tole eretz al belima." We quote this pasuk in Davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Hashem stretches himself over the empty northern area, and tole eretz al belima. He suspends the world over nothing. That's what we call yesh me'ayin. He created the world something from nothing. V'hu abore yisaleh, asher oso darashnu, ulematz'o kivananu, b'machshavoseinu v'sechleinu. That's Hashem. That's the God that we keep on talking about, that we keep on trying to figure out, we keep on trying to understand. That was the whole thing that we spoke about last time, with the idea of trying to investigate and think about and contemplate Hashem. Hu hakadmon harishon asher ein rishis l'reishiso, v'ein tachlis l'kadmuso. He is the primordial being. He is the first being that ever existed. No one or nothing existed before him. Kemo she'amar hakazo, like it says in Yeshayahu, ani rishon. Hashem says, "I'm the first and I'm the last." For Amar also says in Yeshayahu, "Ani Hashem Rishon ve'es Acharonim Anihu." I'm the first and I'm part of the last too. Hashem says, "I'm you know, beginning, middle, and end." Hashem says, "I'm everything." V'yesh b'nei Adam shamru she'ha'olam nihiya b'mikre mi'beli borei she'hischilu v'yotzer she'yitzar. There are people who think, who claim that. Yeah, what's up?
So he says Ani Rishon
ve'ani
Acharon. So does that imply that the world is
going to
end?
Well, I mean, Olam Hazeh eventually is going to, I don't know if you want to say end, or Mashiach is going to come, or it's going to change, depending on how you want to formulate it. But, meaning, the point of the pasuk, again,
what
I
does the Acharon mean?
Acharon probably just, I think it's more metaphorical. It's saying Hashem is the beginning, middle, and end. He's the be-all and end-all, if you want to put it that way. I think it's probably what it really means. Okay, so just kind of to wrap up the paragraph, we're almost done. So there are some people who claim that the world was created by chance, that there was no God who created it, it just popped into existence. Umenatima beina, he says, it's amazing to me. Eich ta'aleh v'das medaber ve'odenu bevriyoso kamach hashava hazos. He says it's astounding to me how a rational, healthy, normal human being could even think of such a thing. Why? The ilu haya bala maimer hazeh shomea adam shiyomar kemamaro v'galgal echad shal mayim. Let's say, for example, the same person who's denying that Hashem created the world, he sees a water wheel. The water wheel is, you know, causing water to go and irrigate a field or a garden. And what does he say? He said, "This God mibli kavanas umach atarach v'chiburo v'har kavaso v'sam kol kli mikelov l'umas hatoelas." Right? This guy says, "Oh, that water wheel just magically popped into existence and just kept on going and turning and turning, and there was no one who helped the water wheel actually start and go into motion." So hayolol haflu hagdil harbelov. You'd be like, "What are you talking about?" V'lachshuvo so besachlas asichus. You think the guy was a total fool? V'yimahir lachzivo lechos mavaro. You would quickly try to undermine him and prove how he's just, you know, crazy. I was off the wall. If we're going to go out on such a limb to disprove a person who all they're trying to claim is that some little dinky water wheel started on its own without the farmer actually turning it, so so that kal v'chomer, when it comes to Hashem himself, Hashem is running the entire world. He's turning the wheels on the world completely. How can a million years can anyone think that it's not Hashem who's operating it? So you think that it was someone other than Hashem who started this, and the world just came into existence on its own? It's crazy.
Yeah,
know,
it literally goes against the laws of physics. Any scientist who believes, who's an atheist, like, it literally goes against. There needs force to be work. They can't just claim that Adam moved on their own
That's exactly his point. He says that if we're going to go out on such a limb to say this about a little water wheel. Exactly. Science. Exactly right. Yeah. Okay? He says, and it's obvious to us, he says, and even if you wanted to argue, even if it were true, that let's say something happened by itself, that without someone or something else causing it to happen, if that were the case, you wouldn't be able to find signs of wisdom and of that ability in the world. So what does that mean? He says, Let's say you take ink and you spill ink on a blank piece of paper. Right? If you were to pour ink on a blank piece of paper, there is no way that that ink would magically turn into like a beautiful painting or would turn into like a letter that you wrote. It's not possible, right? If you want something to actually look nice, you actually have to put in the effort. You can't just pour ink on paper and hope that something pops out. This is almost identical to the point he was making before about the water wheel. If a guy comes to you, let's say a guy comes to you holding a letter, and it's a beautiful letter written in beautiful handwriting, and he says, "By the way, you should just know this letter just popped into existence on its own." You're like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. So he says the same thing. If we're so quick to denounce that guy with the letter, so Kal Vachomer, we should be quick to denounce the people who deny the existence of Hashem, or that he created the world. Because this is an impossibility. Like, look how much effort it requires to write with proper penmanship, to write with, you know, very, very fine lines, and to not go out of the lines. Like, it requires a tremendous amount of effort. So obviously it must have been written by someone. So he says, basically he says, I've made my point. He says, at this point, he says, either you believe me or you don't believe me. He says, at this point, so we know, he says, I've made my case why I think Hashem created the world, because essentially, and this was the major theme of this parak, was really two things. Was first of all, the fact that anything which is made up of different parts had to have been created by someone or something else, in this case Hashem. And also, the last point that we just mentioned is that it's not possible that all of this detail, all of these motions, all the things that are happening in the world just happened by accident. They must have been here for a purpose, for a reason. So that is ultimately, this is the explanation of his three proofs that he gives for the existence of Hashem.